about. There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Wow, it is only Tuesday night. This week is going by slowly, but welcome to it. We're going to have a great show for you tonight. I am Nicole Sandler. Welcome back to Air America Radio. In the second hour tonight, we're going to reach out to an RV. Seriously, there is an RV driving across the country. They started in Portland, Oregon last week, and on it, a bunch of doctors. No, this isn't remote area medical again, although we need to get them back on the show. No, this is a group of medical doctors who are mad as hell, and they're not going to take it anymore. Well, that's not exactly right. They are mad as hell. In fact, they are the mad as hell doctors, and they are driving across the country from Portland to Washington, D.C., stopping at rallies and events along the way, trying to explain to the American people why our healthcare system is so screwed up. And what will make it better? And it's not any of the five bills we're seeing being bandied about in Congress right now. Uh-uh. It's single payer. And we will get to that in the next hour. In this hour, this is a story that I've sort of stayed away from because it's so complicated. And, but the more I read about it, let me just tell you, have you heard the name Sybil Edmonds? I would guess that probably, well, listeners to this radio show, to Air America in general, are more informed, I think, than the average American. But I would say if we could get some, Rasmussen or something to do a poll and find out who has heard of Sybil Edmonds, the results would probably be, well, I'd say probably about 99% of the American people had not heard of her. And there's probably good reason for that, because she's been gagged. In fact, the ACLU has called her, quote, the most gagged person in the history of the United States of America. In fact, I wrote that on my blog tonight. I said, tonight we're going to find out about Sybil Edmonds, whistleblower, and according to the ACLU, the most gagged person in the history of the USA. And I just got an email from my boyfriend asking, since when do you interview porn stars? And no, I don't have the rim shot handy. But no, Sybil Edmonds is anything but. She worked for the FBI as a translator. And that's about as far as I'm going to go, because, again, this is a pretty if you had seen this story that you're about to hear on the big screen at a movie theater, you'd say, nah, it's too implausible. You wouldn't believe it. But it is true, and it's been happening in the government for the last, 10 years or more, actually, 12 years. And to join us, to tell us the story, is somebody it's been my pleasure to have on the show before. Brad Friedman is the proprietor of the Brad blog at bradblog.com. And he's always been my go-to guy on election issues, you know, election fraud, not voter fraud, that's a different thing, election fraud on, you know, voting machines, all nefarious things having to do with elections. But now he is also the guy who has been covering the story about Sybil Edmonds for months and months and months. And I figured he's the best one to kind of lead us through this maze of intrigue and spies and foreign countries and agents and all that stuff. So, Brad Friedman, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Nicole. Actually, it's been years and years.
Has it been
now.
Years and
I'm
years?
Sorry to say that I've been covering it.
I thought it had been, but okay. Yep. Well, all right. I'm sure you'll correct me on a lot of other things tonight. And in fact, as much as I read this, I scratch my head. And the newest revelations that you put up on the blog today blow my mind, because the person involved, I really like. So, Yeah. So, you know, I guess we should start at the beginning. And again, thank you for joining us tonight. Brad, you know, when you're not writing the Brad blog, you do a lot of different things. So bradblog.com is the main place to find you. You also do a wonderful green report every day that you syndicate out. And you occasionally fill in for Mike Malloy on the radio.
I do
so
indeed. Yeah.
You do. And I hear you do a great job. I don't get to hear it because that's when I'm on, but
right.
Thank you for being with me tonight. So tell us, let's start with the very basics. Who is Sybil Edmonds?
Well, and I hear a goat cricking, and it's actually Sybil Edmonds.
Sybil Edmonds.
Yeah, that's okay. She's she was born in Iran of Turkish parents. She lived most of her life, she grew up in Turkey. She's now a U.S. citizen. And she went to work for the FBI just a few days after 9/11. You'll recall when they were looking for translators back then. The big issue was, we had all this intelligence, but we weren't able to translate it and so forth. So she went to work for the FBI right after 9/11, and she began translating wiretaps. Going back to 1996, sort of a backlog of wiretaps in the FBI's counterintelligence division, which was at the time investigating essentially the Turkish lobby. The investigation was sort of centered out of Chicago in general, but it was the nexus between Chicago and D.C. and, frankly, all over the place and all over the world, as you'll hear. So she translated those tapes. At a certain point, she began to realize there was trouble when a colleague of hers, also in the Turkish translation division, turned out to be a member of one of the Turkish lobbying organizations that was targeted in this investigation. And in fact, she alleges that what the woman was doing was translators here are very important. So what they would do is essentially look at these, listen to these wiretaps and tell the field agents whether there was anything here that was important that needed to be translated and so on and so forth. And apparently this colleague of hers was either ignoring important important wiretaps or, mistranslating them and so on and so forth. She reported that to her superiors and eventually she was fired. Later on, she went to, I think, some folks in Congress first. Senator Grassley, Republican Grassley, Democrat Leahy, both who were ranking members at the time of the Senate Intelligence Committee, reported this. Leahy and Grassley both wrote letters on her behalf to John Ashcroft, to the DOJ Inspector General, and so forth. Asking for an investigation into this, and the DOJ did investigate. The Inspector General's office looked at it, called her allegations serious, credible, and warranting further investigation. That year, 60 Minutes ran a story on her, but by then, she was unable to talk because, as you suggest, she was gagged by the Bush administration, which had twice over the...
Uh-oh. We just lost, just when it's getting juicy, see? Look, I wonder who's dealing with his phone. See, you start talking about whistleblowing and gag orders, and Brad Friedman's phone line goes dead. So why don't we do this? Wow, it's just getting juicy, too. We'll take a break here. Come back on the other side with Brad Friedman. He's going to be with us the whole hour. This is not going to be a quick soundbite kind of interview. We are going to get the entire story of Sybil Edmonds and who she blew the whistle on and why she was gagged and the latest allegations coming out, which are pretty stunning. Brad Friedman back with us when we return. I'm Nicole Sandler. Don't go away.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
Love of mine, someday you will die, but I'll be close behind.
Nicole.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
You know, we're laughing with the Twilight Zone music playing in the background. But yes, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com was telling us the story of Sibel Edmonds, who has been gagged by the government, twice gagged, as he was telling us, by the Bush administration, and his phone went dead. And Brad, you're not on a cordless phone or a cell phone. You're on a regular wired landline.
A wired landline, no cell phone, no wireless, and it just went dead. Go figure.
That is weird. Okay, so you were giving us the background, and let's hope we stay connected, on
yes.
Sibel Edmonds, who was hired by the FBI to translate intel, basically, from Turkey, and she came across some stuff that implicated members of Congress.
Well, yeah, she first started getting concerned when she noticed that one of her colleagues was a member of one of the organizations that was being targeted in
okay.
this counterintelligence operation. Reported that, she was let go, she went to the senators, Leahy, Grassley, they wrote letters on her behalf to the DOJ Inspector General, who looked into her story, into her allegations. And according to a declassified version of that Inspector General's report, declassified, I believe, in 2005 or 4, it basically said that she was credible, serious, and her allegations are warranting investigation by the FBI. She was then gagged by the Bush administration twice using the draconian state secrets privilege, which is essentially when the president says, oh, I don't want anybody talking about anything. And this shut her up to the point where even in court, in the court cases, her whistleblower suit, she wasn't able to be there when the government was arguing the case against her, arguing in favor of the state secrets privilege. And she went all the way to the Supreme Court. She did everything she could. She's met with folks in Congress in secure facilities, telling them what she knows, et cetera, et cetera. But yes, now we're finally learning her full story after some of it has leaked out over the years. Vanity Fair ran a big expose in 2005 detailing Denny Hastert having, at the time, Speaker of the House, having accepted some $500,000 in bribes from Turkish agents, as it's described in this story. So that got out a year or so ago. The front page of the London Times ran a story on this entire matter and alleged and really broke it for the first time that what we were talking about here was not just bribery and blackmail with folks in Congress and the State Department and the Defense Department, but that nuclear secrets, weapons technology was being stolen from secure military bases and sold out to the world, to Turkey, to Israel, to Pakistan, Iran, Libya, North Korea. And you had U.S. officials either participating in it or looking in the other way in cahoots with these Turks. Some incredible allegations, and still she hadn't been able to talk about them until a very recent case. In August, she was subpoenaed in an Ohio Elections Commission case between Jean Schmidt, the congresswoman from Ohio, Mean Jean Schmidt.
Yeah, we remember Jean Schmidt. Isn't she the one who got up and called
Martha a coward.
A coward, right. Yes. Yeah, so that's how we know Jean Schmidt. Same one, okay.
Right. She filed a complaint against her one of her opponents in the 2008 congressional race after he had said that she had accepted blood money from the Turkish government to essentially to fight against a resolution that's been rolling around in Congress now for years to declare the Armenian genocide by Turks during World War I as a genocide. And the Turks have gone out of their way to keep that from happening, even though it was 100 years ago. And as it turns out, Jean Schmidt became the co-chair of the Congressional Turkish Caucus. She has apparently very few Turks in her district. Nonetheless, she's co-chair of the Congressional Turkish Caucus and apparently received more money from the Turkish lobbies than anybody else in Congress in 2008. So in that case, Sibel was subpoenaed because she's known to be sort of an expert on how this all works and how the Turkish lobby gives money to Congress members and so forth.
Right.
She was subpoenaed. She answered the subpoena. She told the state, the Department of Justice that she was going to, you know, answer all the questions on the record unless they invoked the state's secret privilege again. And to their credit, the Obama administration did not invoke the state secrets privilege, which allowed her to talk.
Oh.
The entire deposition is available, of course, at bradblog.com. The video, the transcript, it's absolutely remarkable, the things that she came out with. And it then went further still today when the American Conservative magazine released a cover story interview with Sibel Edmonds in which she really pulls the entire story together for the first time in a way that's readable and understandable, I think, and frankly is just breathtaking.
Yes, it is. And I don't want you to give it away yet because we have to take a break in about a minute, so then we'll get to the meat of it. But this is a story that involves, I mean, I'm reading from Brad Blog, the cover story there right now, blackmail, bribery, infiltration, theft, and sale of nuke secrets by Turkey. Israel. It's stunning when you see the scope of it. What years was Sibel working with the FBI and translating these documents?
She joined in just after 9/11 in 2001, and she was gone by early 2002.
So she was able
there.
So in that short time, she was able to get all this information just from...
Well, she was only there for about 6 months, but the material that she was reviewing and translating went all the way back to 1997 through 2002.
Because that stuff was sitting there because they didn't have a Turkish translator, but they knew this was, you know, like high-quality stuff that they needed to get, which blows my mind that the U.S., you know, FBI didn't have somebody who could translate these documents until Sibel Edmonds came in there.
Well, they may have had somebody, but not enough people, and they were in the process of reviewing all the old stuff after 9/11 to see, well, what did we miss out there?
I see. Okay. Brad Friedman is with us from the Brad Blog. We'll come back and tell you what came out in this American Conservative story today. Stand by.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.
No matter how I try, I find my way to the same old jam.
There's a man who leads a life. Listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
Ah, this just made sense. Brad Friedman from Brad Blog is with us. We are talking about the case of Sibel Edmonds, a whistleblower who, again, I love the description. The ACLU describes as the most gagged person in the history of the United States. And now that the Obama administration is in, I guess the gag order has been lifted and she is talking. Now, Brad, you've interviewed Sibel a number of times. You've been covering the story, as you said at the onset, at the top for years, right?
Yeah.
But there's a piece that came out today in the American Conservative magazine, a really in-depth interview in which she sort of puts all the pieces of the puzzle together. And this is, you know, this is great because she really hasn't we haven't heard the story all in one place like this before. So we're finding out that these things, the documents that she translated from Turkish, have implications in every front, including the blackmail of some members of Congress.
Yeah, current and former members. Now, previously, she had named in her deposition, she had named about six current and former Congress members. Dennis Hastert, we had mentioned.
Right. Now, wait, but let me interrupt about Dennis Hastert.
Yeah.
Old Denny Hastert. He's now like an agent of the Turkish government? He's a registered, like he lobbies for Turkey?
He now lobbies for Turkey.
Unbelievable.
$35,000 a month.
Oh, my God. And what were the charges that she had brought up about him?
Well, that he had been taking bribes, essentially, from Turks, Turkish drug money. Money was coming in, whether it was in suitcases or, more to the point, as revealed in the 2005 Vanity Fair story, that he was receiving about $500,000 in donations that were $199 or less, which means, and he was the number one or number two a person in Congress to get that much money of that type of donation. If it's less than $200, you didn't have to identify who it came from.
Wow.
And to this day, Hastert has refused to offer the identities of those donors. And we're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yep.
So that was somewhat known after the report in Vanity Fair. Sabell added some details to that when she was finally able to talk during this deposition where the Obama administration did not gag her with the state secrets privilege. And she added about Hastert, I'm reading a couple of quotes from the deposition here, that, let's see, he did other activities too, including being blackmailed for various reasons, used the townhouse that was not his residence for certain not very morally accepted activities. Foreign entities knew about this, and in fact, they sometimes participated in some of those not maybe morally well activities in that particular townhouse.
I always figured Dennis Hastert was a slime, but this is this goes beyond my wildest imagination.
It's some pretty extraordinary stuff. She even said in her the interview today in Conservative magazine that if this was a fiction novel, nobody would believe it.
Yeah,
recognizes that.
Right, I said if it was a movie, we'd go, never. But we'd say the same thing about 9/11, so.
Yeah, well, as some of the other folks that she talks about that she had named on the record during that deposition, Bob Livingston, who was almost the Speaker of the House.
Right, and a famous adulterer, too, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And he now has a lobbying firm that represents Turkey.
Of course he does. Oh, my God. Roy Blunt. Roy Blunt, who just made news this weekend at the Value Voters thing.
Right.
Basically, you know, telling another monkey in the White House joke.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. Republican from Missouri. He's going to be running for senator, I believe, out there.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Burton is also named as part of the scheme. Republican from Indiana, still serving. You remember Dan Burton.
Mm-hmm.
Also, on the Democrat side, we had Stephen Solars, who was a congressman from New York. He also serves currently as a lobbyist for Turkey. And Tom Lantos, who is now deceased, Democrat from California, now deceased, who in today's piece in the American Conservative, she gets into some details about Lantos and the work that he was doing on behalf of Israel. Now, the Turkish and the Israel lobbies, as she tells the story, are very, very closely aligned. And in fact, one of the main Turkish lobby groups, ATC, American Turkish Council, is essentially modeled after APAC, the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee. So they work very close, and apparently what's going on as they are able to steal this nuclear weapons information and so forth. The Israelis have a shot at it. The Turks have a shot at it. And then whatever is left over is essentially sold to the highest bidder on the nuclear black market. At the same time, over in the State Department and the Defense Department, you had this fellow by the name of Mark Grossman, who had been the ambassador to Turkey. And he became, in the Bush administration, he became the number three in the defense, in the State Department under Powell and Armitage. He apparently was really the ringleader in a whole lot of this and was working with Turkish diplomats essentially as a spy, accepting money. And one of the allegations that she has made is that Grossman actually outed Valerie Plame's Brewster Jennings 3 years prior to the entire Novak disclosure. that in August of 2001, when a Turkish group was going to hire Brewster Jennings, this front company that had been set up by the CIA, Grossman actually tipped off a Turkish diplomat that, no, they're not a real company, they're a CIA front, and that that killed Brewster Jennings entirely back then.
Oh.
So
wow,
this is
stunning. This is an incredible story.
Well, okay. You know what's even more stunning, perhaps, than the all of these details, is that the U.S. media, the broadcast corporate media, doesn't seem to give a damn about it. You know, even if they showed up to disprove it. Remember, you've got the DOJ saying she's credible. You got guys like Grassley and Leahy.
Right, on both sides of the aisle, you got respected, well, respected Democrat anyway. I can't say Grassley's respected, but a powerful Republican.
Powerful indeed, yeah. On the Intelligence Committee, yep. Who, when he was speaking with 60 Minutes way back in 2002, said, yes, I know she's credible because I've talked to other people in the FBI who have corroborated much of what she has said.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's corroboration from FBI sources, you know, throughout the years over these allegations. You would think that would be enough to pick it up. When I ran a story at Bradblog, the exclusive, that she was ready to break the gag order about a year or so ago, ready to break it to any broadcast, mainstream network who was, you know, willing to sit down and let her tell the whole story, there was not a single bite. There was one bite, one network, who, and I served as the intermediary, but in the end, they wouldn't agree to her conditions, which were pretty simple, which was basically either do it live or do it just before going live and run it, you know, largely unedited. And the network in question refused to do so. They said, well, we can't just let her, you know, say anything she wants. We've got to report it out. We can't. And I said,
check.
Well,
they want to verify and check. Yeah.
But the problem is she could have been thrown in jail.
Right.
You know, all they get, you know, they get her information and then they go to report it out, take it to the government. Hey, is this true?
Right. And
they
then
say,
they're stopped.
Oh, no, it's not true. And throw
right.
her
and,
in jail.
And then there's a gag order placed on the interview and they never get to air it.
That's exactly right, and she's busted and she's in trouble. And I said to these network folks, I said, well, what the hell are you talking about? You let Dick Cheney, you let Condi Rice, you know, you let these guys sit there live and say any damn thing they want. You've got a whistleblower here who has, you know, been found credible by the government over and over again. There's a reason that the Bush administration needed to gag her. If she was crazy, they wouldn't have gone through those ends, right? You know, no coverage here in the U.S. Meanwhile, that story alone made front pages all over the world. You know, in India, Pakistan, Iran. And that is when the Brits jumped in and the Sunday Times of London jumped in and did a three-part series in January of 2008 that was just explosive. They bothered to report it, corroborate the details from other FBI sources. And, you know, they did the job of the media that the U.S. media to this day, even now that she's talking,
still hasn't done.
Doesn't seem to do.
Unbelievable. Brad Friedman is with us from Bradblog. So now today, she had alleged in this deposition in August about another a Democratic congresswoman who is married with grown children who is bisexual. And the transcript goes on to say, so they have sent Turkish female agents, and that Turkish female agents work for Turkish government and have sexual relationship with this congresswoman in her townhouse, actually in this area, and the entire episodes of their sexual conduct was being filmed because the entire house, this congressional woman's house, was bugged. And then she went on to say, I don't know if anything illegal happened afterwards, she said, but now today in this American Conservative interview, she divulged the name of the congresswoman.
She did. For years, she had been saying that she, you know, didn't wish to divulge who that was because she didn't know if she committed any crime. She ended up leaving the FBI, you know, before the investigation, I guess, completed. She had, you know, told me some years ago she didn't even know if, you know, she knew anything about the fact that she had been videotaped. So she didn't want to sully this woman. And I'm not entirely sure what has changed that made her feel comfortable to come out and say the woman's name. But she did say it in this interview in American Conservative with Phil Giraldi, who is the interviewer. He's actually a former CIA officer for years. And a good guy, by the way. He has covered her story every now and again over the years and is familiar with her story from his own experience in the CIA working a similar beat. So today, I know you're coming up on a break. I'll leave it to you if you want me to mention the name, but today...
We'll do it and let it sink in during the break.
Well, she said today in this story that we got to look at over the weekend, and broke the news yesterday at Brad Blog that the Democratic Congresswoman in question is Illinois Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky.
Which blows my mind, because I really like Jan Schakowsky, and I don't care if she's bisexual, if she had some kind of a tryst with a woman, but and in this interview, Edmonds again repeats that she doesn't know if the Congresswoman was ever actually blackmailed or did anything for this Turkish woman. But she does allege that there was this videotaped tryst, at least.
And,
right.
Yeah, and keep in mind, with the Turkish agent, as Sibel explains it, keep in mind, Jan Schakowsky is on the U.S. Permanent House Select Committee on Intelligence, and she chairs the Subcommittee on Intelligence Oversight and Investigation. So if she is open to blackmail here, whether she, knew what was happening or not, this is, I think, an important issue that we need to get to the bottom of.
It is. Now, I know you contacted their office, but we do need to take a break. So when we come back on the other side, we'll find out what response Brad Friedman got from Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky's office. I'm blown away. All right. I'm Nicole Sandler, back with Brad Friedman in just a moment.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
Blasting in the bird dog call.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.
And we are back with Brad Friedman of the Brad Blog. Find them at bradblog.com, where you can find tons of information on Sibel Edmonds and a link to the story that's now posted from the American Conservative magazine. So, Brad, before the break, we were talking about the allegation, the name that Sibel Edmonds finally came forward with and said that Representative Jan Schakowsky, Congresswoman from Illinois, had been involved in some kind of liaison with a female Turkish operative. And that was her home, her townhouse was bugged, and they've got it on film. And whether she was blackmailed or not, we don't know. But according to Sibel Edmonds, she was open to blackmail if this did indeed happen. Now, you contacted her office today, and their response was?
I have indeed. And, excuse me, I've got an official response, actually a number of them, because I've been trying to go back and allow Sibel to respond to their response and back and forth. So, excuse me, I hope to have that late tonight available at Brad Blog, otherwise in the morning. But essentially, she vehemently denies the entire matter. She says it's completely fantastic, entirely made up. I'm not quoting directly here, but I'm giving you an idea.
Mm-hmm.
says the facts don't add up, and she does point to a couple of facts that were presented in Sibel's deposition a month ago, and then again in the story today, some of them that she says just don't match up at all. In fact, this is a direct quote, in fact, not one of the events in this fantastic tale ever took place. Now, Sibel replies to their reply and asks some very direct questions to the Congresswoman. I have passed that on also to their office, and they have replied in kind to those, although they didn't really respond to her questions. They weren't particularly responsive. They were more just dismissive of the entire thing as a crazy fantasy, claiming that Sibel is a conspiracy theorist who believes that this is a quote, the bizarre conspiracy theory that elements of the United States States government were involved in the 9/11 attacks. So there
has she said that? Has she ever said that?
No, she has not.
Mm-hmm.
No, as a matter of fact, I've tried to ask her about that, and she has brought someone else, a senior translation, a colleague from the translation department, the Iranian translation department, who had information that there was intelligence that bin Laden was going to attack four or five cities with planes, and that came in as early as April 2001. She brought that guy to the 9/11 commission, where she also testified. She has also told me that bin Laden, that quote, forces in the U.S. had an intimate relationship with bin Laden right up until 9/11.
Well, we know that.
Well, and I think we do.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I don't believe that she has said that there was elements of the government involved in the 9/11 attacks, though I think given the, she has said, you know, given what she's seen, given the way people have been gagged, given the various cover-ups that she says she has witnessed, she doesn't believe that that's far-fetched, that it could be.
Right. Brad Friedman, we've got like 90 seconds left. So, so what happens now with Sybil Edmonds? I mean, is there, we know the media is not covering the story, but is the Justice Department looking into this? I mean, this is pretty stunning, hard stuff that...
If they are looking into it, I don't know about it. I wish they would. I think more material needs to come out. I know that more material will come out. But when you ask why isn't the media covering it, one of the things she mentions in the American Conservative today is that the ringleader here, this Mark Grossman fellow over at the State Department, had contacts at the New York Times that he would just send articles over to, and they would slap someone else's name on them and run them as is. So are the media themselves compromised here? Don't know. That's what she was talking about today and in this article, and it might answer one of the questions as far as why the hell the media hasn't picked up on this story, even to debunk it, which I think would be welcome at this point.
Absolutely. Well, to be continued, check out bradblog.com. You'll get all the background, the entire story. We'll find out more about Jan Schakowsky's denials and her statements on the issue. I'm sure we haven't heard the last of it, although you may have to dig to find it. You'll find it at bradblog.com, and we'll keep you posted here. Brad Friedman, always a pleasure, and thank you for your work on this. We'll be back. We'll talk again and get the latest as the story develops, and hopefully there will be more to it because you can't just let it end here. All right. We'll take a break. Come back on the other side with the mad as hell doctors. Yeah, they have reason to be mad. So do we.